The views on this episode of the Came to Believe Recovery podcast do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Recovery Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this episode should not be taken as medical, psychological, or professional advice, and are those of the hosts, co-hosts, and guests. KHLT and Take 12 Recovery Radio are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Well, greetings, my friends. I am the Monty Man from Take 12 Recovery Radio, and this is the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. And now, here are your podcasting broadcasters, Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez, to introduce this week's show.
Welcome, everybody, to Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. I am Alicia. We have Tom Williams on the East Coast and Monty Man, our producer, with us today. We have the topic of the promises. That's what we're going to be talking all about, the different promises. We know that most people feel that the promises are in step 9 and 10, but there's actually promises in every single step. So we're going to gloss over and talk all about that. How are you guys?
Chipper
here today too. Yes, here on the East Coast is.
I'm excited about.
Welcome, guys. It's
I'm excited about this. Excited about this because there are promises for every step. And doggone it, when we focus on the promises just in one step and try to apply them to all the different steps, that they get watered down. So I'm excited about checking out the promises in this wonderful big book. You see me blow off the dust?
I did. So that's just not it. We often say at retreats, or I'll often say, the program does not promise a struggle. It promises freedom and restoration and happiness and joy, and we're going to talk about that today. This is my favorite subject. You know, guys, I was talking to Alicia yesterday when we were pre-gaming this, and I wrote a white paper or a talk on the promises, and I went for 2 years around to retreats, and that's all they wanted me to talk about was the promises, where I outlined the promises and gave examples of how they come true in your life. And the main point I used to make was, these are things we get if you do what they did. What's a promise, right? A promise is a, well, we're going to get to the definition in a second. Boy, we're right into it today. Let's take a second and talk about our day, guys.
I know. We're going right into it. How? With our normal chit chat at all.
Yeah. I mean, we chit chatted ourselves to death 10 minutes before and ranted and raved. And Monty and I solved the buffet problem in the world because every buffet is the same.
Because they have no patience, you guys. No patience.
We have patience. It's just other people are wrong.
That's right. That's right. These people in the buffet lines that are taking their good, sweet time decorating their plates need to go take an art class down at the senior center. I'm sick and tired of waiting for my food. Get out of my way.
Or just work on your patience.
What?
So I'm excited, guys. I'm excited. Well, number one, as I was where we were saying before, I did get to see the eclipse yesterday here in Manhattan. I'm in Manhattan. And I went to a friend's rooftop, and I got a pair of glasses from somebody. I didn't get it myself, but and saw the eclipse. It's quite a thing to see that. I think where it showed 90% here in New York.
Oh,
so it didn't get dark, but it got dusky, right?
Yeah,
but pretty cool. And
were you closer to the eclipse by being on the roof?
Yes, he was.
He's just dying to do that today, Alicia. He's just not.
I'm thinking of this I Love Lucy episode where Lucy and Ethel are getting a suntan, and Lucy puts the lounge chair on top of a picnic table and then gets on top of the lounge chair, and Ethel goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I get my suntan quicker if I'm closer to the sun." Makes sense to me.
That sounds like a Lucy thing.
That's funny. I didn't even know it was happening, the eclipse thing, but I was running at the lake and a guy came up and gave me those little glasses, and so I looked, but I'm clueless. I live in a little bubble and I had no idea, but it was pretty cool.
You're further from the path, so it probably was not as pronounced.
But I totally saw it. It was probably more than half covered.
Yeah.
And then they said next week maybe there's something with the moons of another planet. I'm so clueless. I have no idea. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to go run now. I don't care. I just don't care.
Right. So you actually don't know what it is next week.
No, but it's something about seeing different moons of another just say planet.
Now, I'm catching on, Monty. We just give her a hard time.
Whatever. And I heard there's a pink moon.
A pink moon?
A week from Tuesday?
I don't know. There's a blue moon. You know what that is? How about once in a blue moon? You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's a beer.
No, a blue moon is the second full moon in any month.
Okay.
And it only happens once in a while. Once in a blue moon. There you go.
Blue moon. Every day. You left me on my own.
Like full moon.
Without a dream in my heart. Without a love of my own.
Okay, that's enough chit chat. Let's get to the promises.
All right, I'm out tomorrow. I'm out going somewhere. Well, you know, this is such a important thing for me. It's so profound in my life and my recovery because it's really what inspired me when I came back and when I read the big book and I read the 9-step promises, and it just overwhelming came to me that, wait a minute, I get this. And it defined, the 9-step promises particularly, defined a condition that I wanted to be in. And I thought, whatever I'm doing, this is much better. And if this is what these guys got by doing this, I'm doing it. Yes. And I, ever since then, have tried to inspire people and get them in their head that they get these things. These things will happen to them if you do what they did. At some level, at some point, in different varying degrees, they all happen. And they would clear out AA rooms. Now, I'm not being intolerant of AA, guys. We love the rooms of AA. But many AA meetings, people are in who intuitively do not how to handle situations that used to baffle them. And they talk and talk. And I would have been one of those people too. But the promises say, we're a new character. We're a new person with a new outlook on life and a new skip in our step, I guess. And we can be victorious. I love it.
I got a question for you guys. I want to remain tolerant of every meeting that ever existed. I do have a hard... I don't have a whole lot of patience for people misrepresenting what is in the textbook that is supposed to be the guide for saving lives. You know, it's kind of like if you had a doctor who was going off the procedure and it could actually risk your life when he was doing your heart surgery because he had an opinion, somebody would have to speak up and say something to that guy, right? And
absolutely.
Yeah. And so when people teach out of the big book, when people teach out of any piece of literature and they don't know what they're teaching, I have a difficult time with that. And because we have people's lives in our hands here. And so the 9-step promises, that I wish they would take them off the wall in meetings. I really do. Or at the very least, don't call them the promises. Call them the 9-step promises. Make it clear. Because the opening statement to the 9-step promises is conditional. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development. What phase? We just read it prior to that. The amends phase. These promises come true as a result of the amends that you make. You're not, you're not afraid of your creditors anymore because they're not knocking down your door trying to get your money from you. You've paid them off, right? You intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. Why? Because you've done an inventory. You've gone through a confession period. You're willing to have God remove the things that are objectionable in your life, and you're making amends. You're making right the wrongs in your life, and so these things start to happen automatically, you know. But it's as a result of the ninth step, which is as a result of steps 1 through 9 or 1 through 8, right? And so if we're teaching people at the end of a meeting, these ninth step promises will come true, just keep coming back. Number one, we're misinformed. Number two, we may be lying to them without knowing it. And number three, at best, we're not representing what the literature says, and therefore we could be guilty of a person's demise, I think. And that to me is totally intolerable. I will not tolerate that. If somebody misquotes the big book, I am going to say something.
I think that lies in what we've talked about probably every podcast, that there's assumptions being made maybe, and that people are coming from different vantage points, and they think, like, we pulled up some stuff, documents, and there was a guy that was talking about that exact thing. I've never been in a meeting where they read the nine step promises, but he thought, I'm not getting these things. Halfway through the meeting, I'm not getting this. So, but the people that are reading it are assuming they're doing the steps, maybe, or assuming they know what they're talking about, but they don't. So it's kind of like all that confusion too, because everybody's doing different things, or I don't know. You know, I don't think they're reading them to hurt anybody.
No, I think the intent's good.
It through, maybe, like we are, and but I thought that was interesting because I've never heard the nine steps promises in a meeting. So I thought, yeah, if I did hear those and I was brand new, I might be a little confused. Like, what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of a statement outside of context when they read them. Mm-hmm. It's just like a list of things. And it doesn't have that condition, Monty, that is in there, which is painstaking about this phase. It assumes you've done 1 through 8.
Yeah.
And we're painstaking about
it. Yeah.
And now our painstaking means taking full effort. And so it's important. It's the first thing we want to say for sure. And here's the other thing I think too about the nine step promises being the focused promises, right? Is that there are other promises and things begin to happen sooner than the ninth step. And that should be help. You know, all of us who want what we want yesterday,
like
addicts are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Salad, Monty. Well, wait. We'll have what do you call that? The buffet.
The salad bar, the salad bar sloth. Yeah.
The salad bar sloth. But if you have to wait till the ninth step to get them, like nothing happens up to the ninth step, and then all of a sudden there's this set of things of life. I mean, which in themselves is a really good thing. It's encouraging to read that the other steps have incremental things as we grow, and they serve as promises. And Alicia and I were looking at a couple of them yesterday. Why don't we talk about a couple of those that are in the other parts of the book? And then let's talk about, as it seems to get a steamroller on it, as you do get to 9, and then to 10, which has like 30 more promises in it of things that we get. And so it does kind of build up its steam as we move through the program, which should also be encouraging that it works. But what were we looking at yesterday, Alicia? We picked out a couple from step 2 and step 3 and a good one from step 5.
Yeah. Well, and you had said too that some of these didn't sound quite like promises, but I think that they are. Like this step 2 says, we found that as soon as we lay aside prejudice and expressed even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just promising that once we begin to believe, things are going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
And step two, it's like what we teach, and it says, like, do you want to be lead a insanity life of addiction, or do you want the spiritual road? So it's kind of talking about that. Once you lean towards the one side, boom, things are going to happen.
Amen. Also, I think one of the second step promises on page 63 and how it works, as we felt new power flow in, that's a promise. And what is that power flowing in? It's the Holy Spirit, man. Mm-hmm. As we enjoyed peace of mind, wow. Mm-hmm. I can have peace of mind. As we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of His presence, my goodness, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. Yeah. We were reborn. What a bag full of promises. Why am I stuck on the nine step promise? Slow your roll, folks. Let's experience. It's like we're going by in a train and we're missing all the scenery, man. You know?
But I wonder if people hear that and think, well, if I do that, I'm just going to be 100% of the time happy, joyful, and free. That's not exactly what we're saying. I mean, but even the fact for an addict, for me, to even have that some of the time, that is a major improvement to being suicidal and wanting to die. So it's not promising happiness all day long, every day, but you will have it. And we'll get more into that later, I think, too, Tom, of like, if you're keeping spiritually fit, then you will have some of these or all of them at some time. But, and if you don't have them, then maybe we need to ask why not, right? We talk a lot about that in step 10. Like, why don't I have these?
Right. Well, I use it as a barometer. I'll say to people, look at your nine-step promises. Is this... And give yourself a little checkup. Are you feeling any of this? Is this seeming okay with you? Because you're supposed to be feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, it's a way. Then you go over to your 10th step list, right? What's going on?
Right.
Because at the beginning, especially, we're not so good at this, right?
Yeah.
And then you can pinpoint something off your fourth step image, right? And say, oh, wow, I see. Because now we're honest with ourselves and we want to do this. Guys, it's so amazing that this process, and it's just the same process that was taught in the Bible by Jesus on how to live the right way and to feel the same feelings of peace and ease and lack of struggle in our lives. How could you not buy into the idea that you can be recovered? Like, again, it's, you know, I'm going to get to this place that gets so animated about it. And Monty, you just pushed a wonderful button with that paragraph from page 63, when we sincerely took such a position. This is more than you read,
right?
All sorts of remarkable things followed. That's a promise. They followed.
Yeah.
They not maybe followed. We had a new employer being all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. So you have to perform his work well. This is an indication that 10, 11, and 12. Established, we became less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs, and we became interested in what we could contribute to life. A new power flowed in, and this is what you read. We enjoyed peace of mind, discovered we could face life successfully. We became conscious of His presence. We were losing our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. Just that, guys. If you said to me, this is what you could have if you did this program. Most addicts, I think, we love the drinking and the drugs and we need them and we want to get rid of them, right? We don't want this monkey on our back anymore. But what we really want is some peace of mind, a successful life, and not have fear every single day about everything that goes on. I think that's really what's behind it. Don't you just want to have a good life and be successful at something? I know I did.
And I think
this gives you hope.
And I think this is still early on, and I think you're right. You don't have to wait till you get to 9 to start experiencing some of these things. But they're ongoing, because looking at that same paragraph, we became conscious of his presence. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We haven't lost it completely, but we're beginning to, right? And then the part you read right above that, Tom, you know, we are less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. Well, we just read on the previous page that self-centeredness, that was what was the root of our problem. Not alcohol, not narcotics,
right.
Not Sister Mary Elephant, but ourselves. And so we're losing interest in ourselves. So you know what? It's so great is at some point in this step work, at least for, in my life, what I discovered was as I lost more or began to lose interest in myself and more upon this power greater than me and more on you, being able to help you, then my desire to look for peace and security, you know, it wasn't a priority as much anymore because I was thinking outside of myself now. And so because I wasn't scraping to find peace and serenity all the time on my own power, it came. It just came.
Right.
It was remarkable.
That's peace of mind.
And it happened before step 9, brother.
Would you say that was because of your surrender and your... Monty, you think that, or did it just happen because you were doing the steps?
No, I think it was because, first of all, I don't think I was able to surrender without God drawing me to him anyway. And I think he was beginning to draw me the day I walked in the doors. And actually, probably before that. But as a result of, you know, him drawing me to himself, I responded. And I often say, and it's a quote, God will not render us white as snow without our cooperation. So you know, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit drawing me to my Heavenly Father, those things started to fall away. That peace of mind and serenity started happening. Because God isn't going to pull something out of a big old hole in your heart and not replace it with something. You know, and he replaced it with him.
Let's read another paragraph. And this is in step 5, and it kind of follows along. It just builds on what you just read, Monty, and what we've been reading in from that step 3. So let's all just remember that in step 3, it says we begin to have a consciousness of the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So this consciousness, right? And like you, Monty, good point. It says step 3, we began to lose our fear. We hadn't identified it and turned it over yet.
Right.
This is a program we'll have a few later. Very good point. But it says this. When you're down a little bit, this is from page 75 of the big book. It says, once we have taken this step, which is the fifth step, withholding nothing, of course, that's a very, I usually say that 19 times when I teach this, withholding nothing, we're delighted. We look at the world in the eye. We be at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. Now our fears are falling from us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We began to lose our fear. Now they're falling from us, another level. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. So not just a consciousness, now he's becoming near. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have an experience. Things are growing here. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared.
Amen.
Will often come strongly. Disappeared. We feel we were on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. This is a good report, guys.
Yeah.
This is like Handspring's report, which they're saying happened to them when they did this.
Why don't we read that at the end of the meeting? Why don't we take turns reading the promises of every step and just rotate them instead of doing the same one every time? Can you imagine? We can look the world in the eye. We're going to be delighted.
Why is it the ninth step promises that were picked for the room?
I don't know.
Is there a reason?
Huh. I don't know. That'd be something to investigate. That, you know, why was that chosen? Who started that?
Yeah.
Because you could have picked a list like that in step 10 and written a list also.
Sure.
So, I don't know. That is a good question. How did they get pulled out? Because it doesn't say these are the 9-step promises. It says if we're painstaking about this phase.
Right.
I mean, that there isn't any other context to lead us to believe. Good question, Alicia. Maybe if somebody in our audience that hears us has some history on this, yeah. Send us an email. Know. We'd love to hear. Maybe this is a Dick Burns question, right?
I love how you said we feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Because that's showing, it's like we're on this highway, we're going, we're in process, we're going to keep going. There's many lanes, but we keep going forward. He's going to lead us hand in hand. We're not going on our own, because that got us into a lot of trouble. And I like that sentence.
So I got a kind of a question comment about this, because I've had some well-meaning Bible thumping brothers and sisters tell me that, oh boy, that's a dangerous thing. We feel we're on the broad highway. You know, broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to salvation. You know, this narrow is a contradiction of scripture. And I'm like, no. You got to remember, we're talking about a bunch of alcoholics. There's a ton of us. It's a broad highway. But now we're walking hand in hand with God's spirit. Spirit of the universe is God's spirit, right? On this broad highway. It's traveled by a whole ton of people. So I don't think it's a contradiction of scripture when it talks about narrow is the way. I just think it's what it is. What do you think, Alicia, Tom?
I actually heard a pastor talk on doing God's will, and it's reminding me of that, because he said that there's many lanes on a highway. If you're praying, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Just go. And if you're going forward seeking God, then there's different lanes. You might, should I move to Arizona? Should I move to here? Go.
Just do it.
But if you're going backwards, then that's a different thing. But sometimes, you know, if you're going forward and seeking his will, sometimes he wants you to choose.
Yeah.
He wants you to do something. So I think that's how I took it. I don't know if that's right.
What do you think, Tom?
Broad highway.
Well, I mean, I love that you brought that up, because I take that totally differently. And I totally take it in an alcoholic recovery mindset, which is we are feeling we're on the broad highway. What we never felt like was any stability or any place that we were safe and easy. We felt like we were in a narrow path, always going to fall off one way or the other. And I feel like finally we're on this broad highway. It's safe. And like you said, there's lots of others with me. I'm walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. I have a path set. There's nothing in my way. And I have this wide open path to walk free. That's how I always took it. This broad highway of safety and stability.
Right.
That we've never had before.
Right.
That's my...
But when you
I never thought about that broad, but you're always going to get that Bible thumper. I could see where they got it, though. You know,
exactly.
Where they go with that if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm glad we're talking it out, because I think there's different ways to look at it.
Sure.
And
I think they more meant it that way, that it's a broad, safe place
too.
To be. It's I do. I think that they weren't making any big theologic statement.
No, I don't think so either.
Or not statement. Right.
Yeah.
Where they weren't contradicting anything.
Hey guys, it's time to take a break. So hold any thoughts,
right.
folks, we're talking about the promises in the book on this episode of the Came to Believe Recovery podcast with Alicia Martinez and Tom Williams. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Listen, are you looking for some great recovery workshops that you can download for fun and for free? Well, look no further. Visit our website at take12radio.com. Scroll down to the Recovery Workshops banner, and there you will find some of the most informative and vital workshops with the topics of recovery on the internet today. Included in them is Walking Through the Big Book with myself and Chris S., Step-by-Step Toward Emotional Sobriety with Dr. Alan Berger, and many more. Please check them out today. Take12Radio.com and click on the Recovery Workshops banner.
Accessing this and all of our shows has never been easier. Simply visit our website at take12radio.com and subscribe to any of the podcasting platforms listed there. Take 12 Recovery Radio, the original recovery talk and positive music radio station and podcast.
All right, welcome back to the show. You've tuned in to the Came to Believe Recovery podcast with Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez. And myself, we're talking about the promises found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
So very interesting that we started out with the 9-step promises, or commenting on them as they are commonly known in the 12-step fellowship as the promises, right?
Right.
But we hardly talked about them so far in the show. We've talked about everything else, other promises, right? So far, we haven't really highlighted them yet. And so that should be really interesting and hopefully enlightening for anybody listening, that this program is just one big, huge promise of wonderfulness, right?
Mm.
Look at that. I found another one, Monty and Alicia, on page 20. This is, comes from page 25. This is like...
That's early.
Before you do How It Works, although it's a statement that certainly came after the guys had done it, it says this. Listen to this powerful statement. The great fact is just this and nothing less. He says it's a great, it's not just a fact, it's a great fact.
Yeah.
And it's nothing less than a fact. I mean, adamant about what it is, that we have had deep, effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. That's the great fact of what happened to them.
Mm.
I revolutionized their whole attitude toward life. A complete transformation. This, now, listen to this. The central fact. So this statement has two. The great fact and the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty. He goes on, right? Going on to add central fact, an absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way in which is indeed miraculous. He's commenced to do, accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves.
Mm.
What a powerful statement, set of statements there that so clearly articulate the position of these guys, how strongly they felt about how profound the change was after doing this.
Mm. Mm.
And the absolute certainty, right? I would say that that would come from, for me, it was like, I couldn't do it on my own. I could not. And then all of a sudden, it's not there. It's not as strong. It's pretty much gone. That I'm certain that I didn't do it. And I'm certain that he did. And I choose to believe he did it because I couldn't do it.
You know, when people will say to me today, I mean, the absolute certainty that the Creator has entered into our hearts is when we've had an experience, a touch of God, a real touch. You, the three of us know it. You can't tell me there isn't a God and there isn't. I've been touched spiritually, emotionally. And you cannot believe it if you don't want to. But I'm not going to say anything, but it's an absolute fact to me. Yep. Central fact. That he has entered into me. I don't know what else to tell you, and I won't let you take it from me if someone tries to say you didn't. I know there's a Creator for me. I know it.
Well, and check this out at the very top of the page. Six words. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. This is a divine help program, not a fellowship help program. Sorry.
Right.
I hope that's not too intolerant. It's a divine help program, not a fellowship help program. If we're going to lean on each other's powerlessness, if you're powerless over alcohol and narcotics and whatever takes you down, and I'm powerless, 0 + 0 = 0. I don't care if the room is filled with 2,500 people or 25 people. There's nothing to be gained there as far as a permanent solution if God is not the central figure. They're just not.
Should we touch on some of the nine step promises? Talk.
I was just going to go there, Alicia,
you
right?
You should probably hit some.
Yeah, and I really want to touch on a few of the 10th step because they're very profound too. It's hard for me to be able to accept anything but the idea that recovered was certainly the condition they were in. If that condition exists in your life, and I've always posed that, you hear me say it, Alicia, and you do too. If this is you, how could you not say you're recovered? Mm-hmm. And if it's not you, what didn't you do? Let's go back.
Yeah.
Because it should be. And you get it. Again, you get it. So I'll go through quick, and then I just want to make a couple of comments about how these worked in my life. Okay? Mm-hmm. You guys all right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are the traditional promises that hang on the wall in half the AA rooms in the country without context. If we're painstaking about this, it's also interesting that the 12 steps are generally hung on the walls in meetings that I've seen, and you never hear anyone discuss them in the meeting. I just sometimes don't understand that, guys. You see them on the walls, and then, but if I walked in later, I'd be like, when do we do that?
Yep.
Yeah. Where does that come from, right?
Yep.
Any kind of thing. Again, not, you know, we have to call what it is, guys. And if you're in rooms and they're not showing you what that is, find somebody that will.
Yep.
Give us a call. We'll get you down the road. That's all. So it says, if we're painstaking about this phase of our development, and the phase is the ninth step, guys, you got to be doing the ninth step, the amends phase of the program. You're going to be amazed before you're halfway through. And I'll often say, you're going to be amazed after you do your first amends as you start to feel.
Yeah.
We will know a new freedom. You're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I didn't know any freedom or any kind of happiness, let alone new. I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how we experience can help others. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, and we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear, people, and economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Hmm. Really, the second time they talk about that, God accomplishing what we couldn't, right? That paragraph from page 25 says the same thing.
Yeah.
A reiteration of the idea that we get that you weren't getting all this stuff before. So in my life, how this looked, we will not regret the past and wish to shut the door on it. It's kind of, you know, I'm pretty open about how I was. And I know when I go to places where I'm speaking with normies or in churches, sometimes that ask me to come and speak. People will often come up to me afterward and go, geez, you're pretty open about all that stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And I say, well, it is what it is. It happened. But I'm not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't change it. And it might be worth someone hearing. And that's not regretting the past, nor wishing to shut the door on it. I mean, that's what we have to be able to embrace and say, is what it is. Yeah, I did it. I don't know what to tell you. But I don't people do it anymore. I always end with that.
Yeah, people aren't used to that honesty and vulnerability outside of alcoholic rooms and addiction rooms.
They are not.
They always could say that, like, we're oversharers. That's too much. And no.
Do you think it scares them?
Sharing and hiding everything that you do.
Yes.
Do you think it scares them?
Yeah.
I think a little bit. So.
Yeah.
I do.
Because then they feel like maybe we're pointing out some stuff that they are hiding, maybe.
Yeah, because there's really no such thing as a normie, is there? I mean, doesn't everybody got something where the tail's wagging the dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody.
One that was profound for me is that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. So that's the poor me's and the idea that we're valueless and we're no good and we can't make anything. And our lives to date, in many cases, would have a big evidentiary element that would prove that and say, I have no evidence that I'm successful about anything, which was mine. But that it says that will disappear. And in my case, you know, I went back to school and I got my degree and then a master's degree and then taught myself how to play guitar and went out and did things. I didn't feel useless anymore and I didn't feel sorry for myself. I went and did it. Well, yes, the poor me's once in a while, of course, but it was just a mistake. I cleaned it up and went on. Whole attitude in my life, fear of people and of economic insecurity would leave us. You know, some people read that wrong, guys, and they think it means we're going to be rich. It just says economic insecurity will leave us.
Yeah, don't read
so
this.
I'll always say, how many of you, I'll always say, put 50 cents in a gas for your car or a dollar, and people laugh. And couldn't pay. And then I'll say, today, you know what I do when I need to get gas? Everybody looks, and I go get gas. I'm not rich, but I can get gas. I can get food. My bills get paid. But this is a big deal for some of us, just to live in that level of security. But this promises that. And it's a great thing.
I love the paragraph after what all the promises you read that says, are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. That's okay.
Yeah.
They will always materialize if you work for them. That's my favorite.
For them.
Yeah, because sometimes the amends that we make can happen quickly. Sometimes it takes time. Because the people we're making amends with are processors. We need to use wisdom and not move too quickly to fix it or whatever. And so sometimes it takes a while. I love the part where this thing about handling situations that used to baffle us. The first time I ever read that or heard it read, I didn't understand it. I was like, well, there's no situation that baffles me. I know exactly how to deal with it. I run from it.
Yeah.
Right?
It works for me.
But now it's like things just seem to unfold. I'm not saying without any effort, but sometimes it seems like that. It's like, wow, that, you know, our financial situation, my wife and I's financial situations, we are at a point, we're not rich at all. We live, we don't have anything is to speak of compared to what some people would consider having much. You know, it's tough, but we don't live in any fear of it. It's not, we're fine. Mm-hmm. And the way things will happen for us, like right now we're having a brand new furnace and a brand new air conditioning unit put into our home. That's expensive, guys, to have that done. There's no way. And guess what? We paid cash for it. If you told me that was going to happen when I was 35, somewhere down the road, I'd have that kind of cash, I'd have laughed you out of the state. There's no way. Even if I was my best self, I'd never get to that point. But it's because of God's grace that has happened for us. And yeah, we can't buy a new car, but we can heat our home.
Right.
And we're not, I don't know, just things seem to happen. They're going to happen the way God wants them to happen anyway, but there's a new acceptance of that. There's no fear in it anymore because we've learned to trust him. It's an incredibly marvelous life. Again, why would anybody want to miss it?
You know, God almost pays as little attention to money as he pays as little attention to anything. Having money and having things are not anything that God is ever really interested in. There's no scripture.
Not much.
It just isn't. He's not interested in it. Not what he says is the key to anything.
Food and shelter.
Actually, says in many times it's the key to all the wrong things.
Yeah.
Because it takes you over. If the money will take you over. And I'd love for you to say this, Monty, instead. Now, I know you meant this, but don't say I don't have anything. Say I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because to me,
I agree with you.
You're one of the richest people I know.
Oh,
you're one of the richest
absolutely.
People I know, and I want people to hear this. What you have can't be bought with money, and what you have is shared. You have something I want more than some people that have money. I don't really know what a car does for me, except it'll make me want a bigger car or a nicer car.
Yeah, right.
And takes my focus away. I don't know. And then people that have money say, well, that's what people that don't have money say.
Oh, right.
And
I know.
I say, whatever, you know. Economic insecurity, the idea that we can be comfortable and that our needs are met, are certainly a God thing.
Absolutely.
And he also didn't bash having prosperity and being prosperous. It's just, does prosperity have you? There's a difference there. Yes. You know, what did Jesus say? It's the guy who builds the second storehouse that's the fool.
Exactly.
But the first storehouse might have been okay if he's used right. You see what I'm saying? But it's the second storehouse that he called him a fool. So we can read into whatever that means.
Yeah, and I think
once you got 100 million, if you have 200 million, right? But go ahead.
Thank you for encouraging me to change the way I say that, because you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. We don't have a lot of money, but we have a lot. A lot. You know what I mean? It blows my mind. It just blows my mind. And I sat in a meeting one time and I heard this is years ago. I heard this lady go, right now, where I am sitting, let me preface this by saying this. She was in the process of losing her house. Her husband had passed away a year before, lost all their income. She was handicapped. She couldn't pay for her mortgage. She was in the process. They were coming to get her house that week, right? She had lost her relationship with her son because she set some boundaries because he was very unhealthy. She had every reason to be singing the blues. She had a bunch of stuff going on. This lady had so much joy in her life. When she entered a room, if you were in a bad mood, you were automatically in a good mood. That's just what she brought into a room. And she sat in that meeting that day. She said, today, as I sit right here, I have absolutely everything I need. Everything. I don't need one thing more. I have everything I need. And at the time, I thought, what? You know, I get it now. I really, really do. There is nothing in my life that I need today. You know, that I don't already have. I can't think of anything.
And right, I've heard people. Well, I don't know. I wish I had more than. I wish I had a little more stability financially.
Well, you wish it, but you have everything you need. You have everything you need in the moment, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. I do. I'd love to be able to be a little freer, you know. And I have a student loan. I have some debt, which is not good to have. That's not a biblical thing to have.
Right.
Debt. It's not a good thing. God doesn't want me beholden to somebody. So that I'm not beating myself up about it, because it is what it is. Again, regret the past, but I'm doing what I can to get out of it. But if I hit the lottery, I'm not going to turn it back in. Right.
Me either.
You know, I certainly would be afraid about what it would do to me. I would really be afraid.
Yeah.
As I sit here and tell you, my whole mission in life would be to give most of it away.
Yeah.
All but what I would need to have, but that's big talk from somebody who doesn't have it.
Yeah, right? But Tom, let me ask you, Alicia, have you ever in your life, though, come across a time when you had some cash, maybe more than usual, and you went to the store and thought, yeah, I can spend some, and then you came home with nothing because you couldn't figure out what to buy.
Right.
you're like, it's like, I really don't need anything anyway.
Yeah. Well, more coffee. It's a great thing to, but anyway, we went down a rabbit hole with that, but it says economic insecurity, and it just means that you're going to not have those fears. You're going to eat, you're going to be able to pay your bills if you're responsible, and you're going to intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. And that's a lot of life's little problems that we now have the power, because we have a new manager to help us secure. What a discussion today. What a positive program we ran today, I think, and I hope if you're listening, you took some great encouragement from us and from the things that we read. And Monty, Alicia, and Tom did not make any of this up.
It's all in the book.
This is all stuff that are right in this big book. And all stuff that prompts people at our retreats to say, why did anybody ever tell me this?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it's right there. It's been there all the time. And it really puts to rest the focus of the program, the expectant results of the program, the experience of the founders, and lays in front of us an experience that we all can have too. It's very clear. It's not ambiguous about it at all. We read three or four affirming paragraphs just filled with hope and covering almost every little whiny thing that any of us had before, right? Every little thing that we could make us a fully human. But like as Alicia says too, they all had a little caveat. Some of them is provided we are painstaking, provided we do. And so we do have a part.
And it's good to keep looking at them because.
Come to a Came to Believe Recovery retreat, guys.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Alicia?
If they're not coming true, right, then maybe I need to work on my spiritual fitness and look at why do I still have fear of people? Because I do. Because I'm holding on to some defects of character, and that one. Sometimes I don't have it, but that's the one.
Well, no, you're holding on to some habits from the defect. You don't have it anymore. The habits of it. See, Monty, you got to give everybody straightened out.
That's right.
Talk the right words about yourself.
Okay.
You don't need to work on my habits anymore.
So what about, okay.
I'll give it what my sponsor did.
What about, so you wanted to touch on some 10-step promises. I guess my favorite one in here is, and we ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. I got it because I am overly opinionated. I am right 99.9% of the time. That 1%, I'm still working on figuring out why I can't be right about that, you know, which simply means that I'm wrong a lot more often than I want to admit because of pride and ego. Let's face it. We all have some of it. It just shows up in different ways. But this whole thing about ceasing fighting anything or everyone, I was in conflict with everybody. I mean, no matter what you did, I found fault in it. You know, because I didn't want you looking at me. Because I was too sick. I didn't want you looking at me. And then it says, for by this time, what time? By the time we've gotten to this step, sanity will have returned. We're seldom interested in liquor. And then he goes on to say that this whole attitude toward liquor has been given to us without much effort on our part even. So whose part was it on? His part. Mm-hmm. Again, the problem has been removed. It's been removed. If my problem is removed, have I not recovered from it?
Wow. I say yes.
Yeah.
How could you not? Right. It's been removed. If the tumor's removed, you don't have it anymore.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying we're cured. So, not saying we can go out and drink and all the things, but we are recovered. And
all the things. So I like this statement here. It goes with the broad highway. I think they go hand in hand where it says we feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about the broad highway. That's what I think the broad highway means. It's a safe, protected place of neutrality. That's exactly how I always read that to be. I thought these two statements kind of went together. We've not even sworn off. I love that. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. He goes on to say it doesn't exist, right?
Doesn't
twice,
exist.
Two comments about it. This is our experience. This is how we react. Now, here is a great one for Alicia, as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Meaning, as long as we do something, we have to do something.
I always think of that. I always think of the person that says, "You know, the big book says I can go anywhere, anywhere now. I can do anything and go anywhere." So, you know, I like hanging out down at the pool hall, and hanging with my buddies. They drink too much, and I'm always the designated driver. But I love hanging out with them. And this is just, I'm going to apply this, seriously apply this just in my life. I'm not telling anybody they need to do this, but I have to question myself. If I enjoy hanging out with you while you're getting intoxicated, how is that remaining in fit spiritual condition?
Yeah, I agree.
And Monty, talk about reading everything. It says, I can go anywhere provided I have a good reason.
Yeah. Is that a good reason?
It doesn't say to just go anywhere, anytime, right? And you know what they say about hanging around a barbershop?
You're going to get a haircut. And if you don't have much hair, it's going to get worse.
Right. Our whole attitude revolutionized our way of life. Our whole attitude about is changed. Our whole blah, blah, blah. Has it really changed if you're still in the same old thing? I would be right with you, Monty, thinking.
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell anybody either, but I would say.
I couldn't do
you
that.
You know, I just didn't want to. I had no interest in associating in the same places without judgment. I just didn't go there anymore. That wasn't good for me. It wasn't living in the go. It wasn't feeding success and progress. It was everything that defined for me. Not that, again, anybody in now all the pool hall associations are going to go be against.
Yeah,
pool is no good, right?
Well, how many restaurants do we go to where alcohol is being served openly? And maybe I'm thinking about our local Red Robin here. There's a whole wall right there of all these glistening bottles, right? I could sit there and I have no issue with it and get my. I usually get the cod or whatever, the Alaskan thing or the salmon or something. It doesn't faze me a bit. You know what I mean? I'm going there with my family to have dinner. I've got business there. That's where they're serving the food that my family's going to have dinner. That's all that is. If I'm in fit spiritual condition, I'm probably not going to hang out on the other side of the wall where everybody's cheering on the sports team and drinking and getting a little tipsy. Probably not going to do that. But that's just me.
Right. But maybe once in a while, right, if you're invited to a Super Bowl party.
Sure.
Birthday party and they're eating all the sugar and all the things, I'm going to go.
Oh, yeah.
If that was like an every day or every week, I'm not going. I'm not interested.
Right.
And that's... then she goes like in the bathroom and texts me. I'm at this party and they're all eating sugar and they're so. I get these rants because she knows that she can rant to me.
But see, that's a promise. That's a promise. We can walk into places. If we're on a 12-step call and we got to go into a shady place. I've been on 12-step calls like that. I don't go by myself. You know, even the angels traveled in pairs, right? I'm gonna take somebody with me. Very likely one of my sponsees who's new to 12-step calls. We're going on a 12-step call, Fred. That's what we're doing. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. And we walk in and, you know, the guy is sitting there and he's still looking at his drink. He hasn't taken it yet. And he's like, just in time, guys. I can go there. You know, I had my sponsor pulled me out of a using situation against his sponsor's advice. But he went with his gut and what he thought the good Lord was telling him to do. Walked right into the situation, got my sorry butt, and we marched out of there. Saved my life. But he was able to do that because he was in fit spiritual condition, the guy was. Mm-hmm. But what a promise.
What a promise.
Yeah. Well, there we are.
Well, what a show, guys. Yeah, and if you are listening and you, like, this is all stuff, oh my. Find a retreat, and you'll hear Alicia and I, and soon Monty, talk about this at retreats all weekend long. It's the theme of the weekend as we weave this stuff and highlight it through all the steps and present you with a program that you can grasp a hold of too and walk out on your Sunday afternoon to work 10, 11, and 12 and begin perfecting this process that you can learn over a weekend and begin to experience the ninth step, the 10th step promises. You'll get the others as you're at the retreat. We would encourage you, come. What do you got to lose?
Yeah.
Yes. If nothing else, you get a nice weekend around some nice people and some food pretty cheaply.
Yeah.
But what if we're right? What if this stuff that we read, that they wrote, is true? Yeah. Who wouldn't want it? All of this stuff we've been talking about today, guys. Who would not want all of this to be part of what they are and who they do? I would tell you you're a fool if you said, I don't want to be that. That's not what I want my life. This has nothing to do with where you work or go to school with or who you get married to or what like that, where you live. It has to do with who you are. And wow. I think we should do all of the shows on the promises.
Alicia,
Came to Believe Promises podcast. How about that?
Alicia, closing thoughts from you.
I don't know if I have any. I would just encourage and piggyback then on what Tom would say. Check out cametobelieverecovery.org. We just started a weekly meeting on Wednesdays at noon Pacific Standard Time, 3 Eastern Time. And you can check us out that way, an hour a week on Wednesdays. And all the retreats are on the website. There's a virtual retreat next weekend. And you could do it in 2 days virtually. So check out the website for sure.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, folks, if you want to go to the Wednesday meeting tomorrow, if you go to take12radio.com and click on the Came to Believe Recovery podcast banner, it'll give you the meeting ID and passcode to join that meeting. Great meeting. Tom, closing thoughts.
I think, Just keep your head up if you're out there and know that recovery is possible. And like I said, find a group. If it's not us, find a group that's talking like we are.
Amen.
Guys, because we're not the only ones out there. We're not the only ones. Nope. We know that. There are others who are raising the flag like us. And take a breath.
Yeah.
And look around, remembering that we have today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet.
Yeah.
See what's right in front of you, guys. Take advantage of any blessing that's there and take a chance and take a shot at spreading some sunshine to someone else today. How about that random act of kindness? Brighten someone else's day.
Good word.
And we'll see you next week.
All right. Well, our closing song, Recovery Podcast. Our closing song is called On a Night Like This, and this is Barry J. Now, this is a prayer to God to stay sober in the heat of temptation and loneliness. Here's Barry.
You have loved me, you have saved me many times before. Forgive me as I ask of you for the strength once more. To lift me from this place feels like an abyss. Will you be my saving grace on a night like this? Many nights I numb the pain and hide from all my fears. Turn to pills, believe cocaine. Far too many years I'm tempted to retrace, wondering what I miss. I need you as my saving grace on a night like this. On a night like this, I'm feeling like there's nothing left. Will I be a sole survivor, or has the devil won? If I left without a trace, would I even be missed? please be my saving grace on a night like this. On a night like this, so much to lose, and I don't want to sink. On a night like this, I don't want to choose, and I don't want to think. On a night like this, you have saved me. Will you help me out once more? On a night like this, I'm so afraid I'll end up like before. The voice inside my head won't let me get to sleep. If temptation wins tonight, I wanna know what I would reap. On a night like this, I feel as if there's nothing left to lose. On a night like this, I don't know which way I'm gonna choose. On a night like this, will you save me? Spare me here once more. On a night like this, on my knees before you, desperate and unsure. As the tears run down my face, don't wanna feel the loneliness. Will you be my saving grace on a night like this? I need you as my saving grace on a night, like.
Promises made and promises broken. Well, many of us have lived through that scenario more times than we wish to admit. But there is one who will never break his promise to you. And that's a promise that this recovered alcoholic has held on to since 1971, when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my God and King. He promised to never leave me nor forsake me. Even as shortly after that, I went back to my old way of self-serving. But things, well, they were never the same. You see, I wasn't able to shake the truth that God was with me, staying closer than a brother, regardless of my actions. He was there in the joys of the day and in the ugliness of nights. The promise that would never be broken sustains me still. Well, did you know that every step laid out in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has promises? That's right. And these promises can and will come true for us each and every day if we but surrender to the process of recovery guided by the loving hand of God that leads to a state of recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that's our hope for all of you tuning in to this podcast. Came to Believe Recovery strives to create and promote opportunities for life-changing spiritual experiences for individuals and families suffering from all forms of addiction. For more information, help, and support, visit cametobelieverecovery.org. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your host on this episode of the Came to Believe Recovery podcast. And I would encourage you to like, bookmark, and subscribe to this show. When you do, you will join the Take 12 Recovery Radio family and will be notified of all of our recovery-focused shows throughout the week. Until our next broadcast, when we provide the essential spiritual tools needed to thrive by sharing our experience, our strength, and our hope through our stories of how we came to believe.
This has been a production of Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Yeah, kitty, kitty, kitty. Meow.
Woof, woof.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.